listening to the Wait, What If podcast.
He's gonna turn the sign in.
All right, cool.
All right, great.
So everyone, this is our first live event. Well, it's actually our second, but this is the first time we actually did it high tech. And every now and then we might stop to try to adjust some of this equipment because it's just the way it is. I'm a one-man operation here. But tonight we're doing a live ghost hunt from Revival 1869. And with me right now is Malia Christie, who is a co-owner of the bar. And she's going to give us a little bit of history on the bar and different stories about what's going on lately.
Yes. So my history, as far as I have been able to concur, is thanks to Pam Bumgarner. She's the town historian, and it's very important to us that we try to incorporate and represent the history of not only the buildings, but of Clayton as best as possible. So we've spent a lot of time with her. Revival is the definition of that is taking something old and making it new and relevant again, and that was easily our choice for names when we narrowed it down. 1869 is the year that Clayton was incorporated, and so that's where the Revival 1869 comes from. But it was really important that we start out on Main Street with our business and be in the historic part of downtown Clayton, because there's so much history here. There was a time in which Clayton was the wealthiest town of its size in America, and then shortly after in the world. And there's just something so brilliant about that. You can't invent a downtown again, and there's so much history and wealth and things to regale here. And then we've stumbled upon these two buildings of all of them, and in our opinion, they have the most exciting history and stories and goings on.
And that's kind of one of the reasons, that's one of the reasons why we picked doing the episode here and doing the episode in Clayton, is because a lot of these old southern towns have, I think I said in our show note section, that not only were we looking for the actual bump in the night ghosts, but the ghosts that are theoretical in a town like this. Because like you said, at one time, this was one of the bustling towns in America. Would you say the biggest, large?
It was the wealthiest town of its size
in America.
America, and then the world 6 months later.
And then it slowly disappeared, and hopefully we're going to bring it back up, which is where you came up with the title Revival 1869, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, so when was this building itself erected?
So, found out that a lot of these buildings were all wood for a long time, of course. The railroad tracks are right behind Main Street here. So Main Street, and then these row of buildings, and then Front Street. So back behind our building and this string of buildings was the livery and a lot of the mills, and there were homes back there. But everything essentially, if you can imagine it, back in late 1800s, early 1900s, everything was brought in on the railroads, and it was milled, or all of the livestock was out back, and then everything that was necessary was brought in to Main Street and all of Clayton and all of Johnston County. So this building, and these are each separate buildings that we took over and combined the two, but it's believed that all of them were built pretty much around 1908 to 1912. They were all wooden, but 2, 2, 4, and the ones after were the first to be brick. And then when we get inside, I'm sure we'll see there's the original tin ceiling that goes between 2, 2, 4 and 2, 2, 6, which is now Primo's Pizza. But this building was built around 1910. The first map that was made, it's a Sanborn maps, and those are the ones that catalog the buildings and the streets and what was there originally as best known as possible. There were no addresses until probably the 50s. I figured that out. It was just come to the barber or come to the grocer, and that was it. So these buildings have been a number of things, but this one was wooden, this one was brick, and then all sorts of things.
What do you know about the history of this town with the Civil War?
A whole lot of nothing.
Okay.
I know a lot about a lot of things about it, but not regarding the Civil War. There were a lot of books about that, and I didn't have time to read all of them.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of like that.
Okay.
Noise.
Okay.
I might want to stand for their books.
Sounds good. Yeah, it could be that too. All right, so let's go into the building. So if you guys want to come visit Revival 1869, what are your hours?
We are Wednesdays. We are 4 to 10 p.m., and we do a movie night. We usually do like cult classics, B, C, D rated movies, out on our patio or inside on Wednesdays. Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, we are 4 to midnight. We have live music Thursdays and Saturdays, and Sundays we're 4 to 10, and those are just kind of days where come and hang out and literally do kind of whatever you want.
If I, oh man, don't lose that, but I'll do it anyways. If I can interject, what we have in here, he's the psychic on scene, or unseen guy. He is actually he was a dancer and singer for Grease, so we have, from the original Grease movie, so he's going to be inside here.
So maybe we'll have dancers too, who knows?
Absolutely. All right, well, show us in.
Here we go.
And this is kind of where I wanted to give everyone a little history of, you know, Clayton itself and the building itself, and this is where Malia and Mike are going to start telling us about the weird things that started happening, because they opened up not quite a year ago, about what?
No, we are 7 months now.
Okay, so they opened up 7 months ago. Strange things started to happen. Mike would send me texts, say, hey, look at this, or they even got stuff on their security camera of things moving. And I was like, come on, dude. But now, apparently, things have cranked up a little bit, and I figured this is the perfect time to get that on camera, because I am the skeptic, and I hope to be convinced tonight. We have Vincent Jenna, who is a pretty renowned psychic, and, of course, an actor from Greece, and a bunch of other things. You can check him out on IMDb. We also have John Mathis, who is a paranormal investigator. He's going to be in here. He's already running his, like, equipment. He's got, like, I don't know, from... What was that movie? Ghostbusters. He's got like the little things, and then also we have John. Everyone knows John Taylor from Twisted Podcast. He's blowing up in the podcast world, so he's going to be in there just to kind of hang out and show his pretty face. Who else? Oh, and Savannah Steele, who was just out a minute ago to tell me that our sound was terrible. But hopefully we got that fixed, and let's head on in.
She's brilliant, and she's beautiful, so listen to what she says.
I think she's single, so we...
As am I. The alley, did you...
Do you have anything?
There was something.
No. Let's sit over here.
Just the alley. That's also something that we own. And this ABC building here is one of the oldest, and it's called the Mayo Building. There's all sorts of crazy stuff we've seen in this building next to us.
Seen from walking down the street, or how do you?
Seen from walking inside and things that we've heard. And there are a plethora of dead birds inside. Very bizarre. All of the floors are tilted. Anyway, it's very bizarre.
Which would kind of put, see, now that kind of goes into my skeptic world, because if the boards are tilted and things are kind of wacky, when you go in there, you're automatically going to have like a feeling of, oh, this place is weird.
Creepiness,
yeah. Yeah, so,
I will say that there are two stairwells, one from the back, one from the front, that have been erected at different times, and before they demoed it upstairs, there was a hallway filled with individual rooms that locked from the outside, and there were no windows. And when I was in there with my father, who's a deacon, during the daytime we heard footsteps upstairs when we were getting the scaffolding the day before we opened, and footsteps and laughing upstairs, and no one had a key but us and the town.
All right.
So, but the alleyway is super cool because you'll see the striations on the walls, and that's where the livery used to be back. Used to be back in the back, and there are all these striations along the walls because everything that came from the railroad had to be brought in through this alleyway, and they made it too narrow, so people had to labor.
Okay. Well, let's bring it in here and see what happens.
It's probably in the ghost. There was, we do know, there was a man at some point, we've not been able to figure out the
year, but
where obviously along the railroad, people have been hit. People have been hit and killed.
So you're saying people were hit on the railroad behind here?
It happens on every railroad, but back behind here, somewhere in the last 80 years, a man was hit, and it was before ambulances and EMS and what have you, and they knew he was not going to make it. And a testament to the town, the hearsay is that they stayed with him. People who just came rushing to his aid, they stayed with him, and it took a long, long time for him to pass, but they all stayed with him, and they saw him through it, and it was bad, but it ended up being good.
All right, what was the first thing that you guys noticed where you're like, now here's my question, I always have to bring this up. Did you come in here with the idea, this is an old place, there's lots of stuff going on, that maybe we could be haunted, or were you just like, business as usual, holy shit, I'm levitating?
We have. We now will show you the levitating here momentarily. No, we
make sure
came
you speak
in,
up because this is for the podcast, but that's the only mic that we
have. We came
in. No, that one's good, but up here, yeah.
We came in knowing there was a lot of history, that each of these buildings, we were taking over two, not just one historic building, but two. And we knew that there was a lot that was going on. We were in the middle of what was bustling downtown, and for us it wasn't just taking over a building and making it a business, it was using the history. Here comes the freight train. I can tell you the schedule of it since I live on Front Street. There are fast Amtrak passenger trains that take about 30 to 60 seconds, and there are these freight trains that take anywhere from a minute and a half to 7.5 minutes. Hate to be at that.
All right, well, let's get into the juice.
So
I want to see where the stuff was. So Mike would text
stuff
me.
And we knew it.
Mike would text me like pictures of bottles and stuff broken.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Broken stuff. And
so
and
you guys would come in afterwards, and that would happen, or
we are many times, pretty much all the time, the last ones to leave, mm-hmm. and we leave everything. You know, we're meticulous, and everything is the same. We leave. We come back sometimes 4 or 5 hours later, and things are missing. Even before we open, things are missing that are very critical and that we've paid a lot of money for. They're missing, then they show up. Nothing bad has ever happened other than a few broken bottles in our office, but it's never been like a bad presence. It's just been very much either playful or just, I don't know, kind of just wants to cause a little bit of trouble.
Hey, Mike.
And it
Do you have the video of the ladder moving?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
I just texted it.
Oh, you did?
We
I don't have my phone
really
on me.
Great.
I mean, can
really
you just bring
great.
It up on your
It's a really, really good video, and we have it on our security cameras, so it's high definition.
It
that's right, it resets. But we did take a video of it. And there were people here, employees and guests were here at the time.
Can you see it? Does it work?
See it?
Yeah, I guess you got.
Watch the ladder.
Just the ladder.
Holy cow!
Did you see it? It made a lot of noise, and then our bartender around there, Dave, he turned around.
Oh my
and was like,
gosh, that's terrifying.
So wait, was there a train going by at the time?
No,
well, there's a train going by now. We can take a look at it.
We've speculated all things, and right now our mats aren't down, mm-hmm. but it is hard for any of you who have been in. When we have to go up that ladder, we have to beat the ladder really hard. We have to make sure it's not on the rubber mats. And it is hard to move that ladder, and it swung out probably 5 inches. It shook back and forth, and it swung back, and we all stood there. We all sat there.
I'll wiggle it so you can hear the sound again.
Okay.
Yeah, especially because the mats.
All right, let's work our way over here then.
With the mats there, it's nearly impossible, but he'll be able to show you what it did despite the mats. And our bartender, Dave, he was standing, he doesn't like to acknowledge this stuff, so he points across the room and goes, don't you say it, don't you say it.
That's the noise it made?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was like that.
I know, but look, swing it out first, and then shake it. Swing it out,
it like
shake it,
well,
and swing it back.
It
I know.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not quiet. It's not like he didn't see it happen.
It was very. You saw Dave turn around.
It was very audible. Yeah. Very visible. Like
that's essentially exactly what it did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Mike, tell me. I remember things started going on here. Let's pass this mic over here real quick. Tell me about the. Oh, yeah. So, you had some other. Yeah. Hold on a minute.
Sorry.
It's okay. All right, so you had a bunch of things happen, little things here and there, and then when I came in tonight, you said, whoa, things have changed a little bit as far as the level of things that you saw that were unexplainable. Let's start with, I don't know, I'm in your wheelhouse. You tell me what the deal is there, what you saw.
Well, there's been a lot of little things in the building. I'm not going to stare at the light.
Yeah, it's not comfortable to talk at the camera.
There's been a few things that have happened, some small things. But more recently, we've seen figures and silhouettes.
Okay.
But not just a silhouette, like a shadow or silhouette. Something with texture, something with color, and something that was like formed. It was very interesting. It was very weird.
Tell me a situation where you saw it.
It hit me. It was when I was coming and going. It hit me twice within like 15 minutes.
Right after the next day.
Right, and then Malia seen it a few times, but it was a person, a little bit taller than me, thinner than I am, and they were just kind of rested up against the wall, looking towards our refrigerators, which is where we keep some of our we can walk over there.
No,
but yeah, it hit me twice, and it, the first time I saw it, it was like an instant fight or flight mode because it was after hours and there's no one here but me, and all my doors are locked when I'm here, and we were doing like inventory, and it was an instant thing, like, well, who the hell is in here? Because there's some homeless guys that walk around out back, but they're generally very nice and friendly, so I was like, that's very strange if it's them. But you go in flight or flight mode, and my mode was instantly into like fight mode, and so I turned back around real fast and it was gone. And then I thought, well, maybe I'm seeing things. And then I started walking around and I'm doing the inventory and I'm doing different things. I walked back and there it is again.
Same, looked exactly the same?
Same, look, the same thing, maybe just moved around a little bit.
He or she?
I don't know.
Oh, it was just dark?
I can't say for certain whether it's a guy or a gal. It appeared that it was.
But it doesn't.
It could have been something in like a white long sleeve shirt with a black vest is what it appeared. So probably likely maybe a male figure, but I can't say.
And you couldn't tell if it was like someone from 1869
when it was from, but it was just very strange.
And it scared.
It was very real. It felt real, which was bizarre.
And this has happened more than once?
Well, that's the only two times I've seen it.
Okay.
But different things have happened. Money aligning itself. Weird bottle placements, like went on our shelves, things are flipped around in ways they shouldn't be.
I want to tell them about the oil.
There's an oil thing where we discovered oil. It's splattered on the inside of one of our display cases. We don't have any oil.
Right.
We have candles, but we don't have like oil.
Yeah.
And there was like an oil that looked like it was splattered out onto the glass, but Malia will cover that. Random pennies appearing in places where they shouldn't be. When we don't deal in change, everything is to the dollar here, taxes included. So if your drink costs $10, it's $10 because
right.
taxes included. So we don't deal in change. But I'll find things in weird places. Just bizarre things that are out of place, you know. And then you top it all off with actually seeing like a figure.
And other folks have seen a figure, your other bartenders and
Leah
stuff?
Leah has, and I think... Maybe Dave has, but I'm not entirely sure.
I have, and people have been in here.
You gotta use this.
You gotta talk into that.
I have, and I'm not a believer. I'm not like one of those people that's like, ooh, ghosts. I'm kind of like, yeah. I mean, yeah, all right, man. Just don't hurt anybody, and just don't mess with my booze, and right on. You know, it's a historic building, and there was a funeral parlor. It's pretty much believed to be over here. We can show you the wall. So I'm like, yeah, of course that stuff probably happens. How selfish of us to assume that it's just us here. So yeah, probably just don't hurt anyone, and right on. We've left glasses of whiskey out and notes saying, we're cool if you're cool. They haven't consumed it. But early on, when it was just me and three of our guys closing down, this was probably the first month in, I turned off all the, I sent everyone out the back door. I checked all the locks and I went to turn the lights off, and I was standing on this end of the bar facing that way, and right where Miss Savannah Steele is standing, there was the completely dark shadow of a tall bearded,
oh, so you saw it too?
Tall.
You saw that.
This was 6 months ago.
Okay.
But this was back when all the really weird stuff was happening. We've had kind of a break and stuff for a while, but there was a man. I was standing here, and where Savannah is standing there, I had sent all the guys out the back door, and there's a man standing there in the shadow, like staring at me, and. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
same
guys,
thing? Could you see face, eyes, anything like that?
You can't see face because the lights were just coming from the street.
Oh, okay.
And ours were, I just flicked them off and no one was there. I just said, go out the doors. I'm locking everything. All three guys went out back. And as soon as I turned the lights off, there's a man standing there just staring right at me across the bar. And I said, guys, I just said, get out. I'm turning the lights off, locking the doors. And so I walked through the door, and he turned, and he walked that way. And I turned, and I walked there, and I'm like, are you not listening to me? And I peek, and there's nothing over there. So I quick peek over here. There's nothing there. I'm thinking, I'm delusional. And Mike opens the back door, and I see all three of the bearded gentlemen that work that work for me. They're all standing out back, and they're like, who are you talking to? What's going on? And it didn't scare me until after the fact when I'm like, oh, shit. That was not one of the three people that I know. Sorry, I said.
No, it's okay. We can do that.
Okay, good.
All right.
So, yeah. There, and since then, there were have been no other, like, sightings of beings, but there's been stuff that's really unexplainable that's happened here.
Okay. Well, follow me.
Tangible stuff.
We are going to go to, it's 9:30, so this is the second, no, this is the second, third, the third period, whatever you want to call it. All right, come along this way. Here you go. I have the volume, but if you just talk just like this, you'll be good to go.
Okay.
All right, you don't have to go too high or too low. A little bit higher. Okay. Give me a test 1-2.
Test 1-2.
Perfect.
All right.
All right, so we figured we get all sides of things here. If you listen to episode number 54, I had John Mathis on there. We talked a lot about astral projection and near-death experiences and all that stuff. And I was chatting with him, I don't know, at some point in between then and now, and or maybe I saw on your website that you're a paranormal investigator, so I thought, how perfect. I'm the skeptic. We have all these people that saw something. Let's bring in the guy who investigates these things and, I guess, knows what to look for, knows what maybe just a HVAC unit that is just blowing air on something, or if it's a, what do they call that, like the electromagnetic field or whatever.
Right, the EMF field.
So let's start with, you walk into a bar, someone says, you know, there's weird things happening.
What's sounds like a setup to a joke.
Yeah.
guy walks into a bar.
Guy walks into a bar with capote glasses on and says, "So,
have you seen any spirits?"
So, what do you do? What do you do when you walk right in?
So, I've been doing this off and on for about 20 years, and basically, what I do is I go in and I try to rule out the obvious. So, if people have been feeling cold chills, then it's like look at the HVAC and see, you know, do I see an air conditioning supply and a return right next to each other? So those type of things will create a chill.
Okay.
I also go through with an EMF meter, electromagnetic field meter, and I work my way through all the electrical supply throughout the place to see if there might be some leakage, because sometimes EMF fields can give you that feeling that you're being watched.
Okay.
So after I go through and do a pass from the electrical, the HVAC, the plumbing, start looking, just kind of rule out the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I notice is that with the front of this building being all glass, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for cross-reflection. And so if you're sitting here and you've got, you know, a couple of curio cabinets and some glass cabinets, even the back glass here, you can get some cross reflection, and if you're not really paying attention, it could be someone on the other side of the room that you just don't see, but out of your peripheral vision, you're catching something out of the glass.
Okay.
So there's all these opportunities to see things that may or may not be spirit.
Okay.
So I like to go through and rule out all those things first.
Okay. What things have you noticed? I mean, you just brought up the glass, but have you noticed anything else with this bar that you would say, I mean, obviously it's an old building. It's what, 100 years old? It's been renovated. It used to be two separate buildings. They've done some, you know, I guess, construction that would change the structure. Mm-hmm. I guess the building will settle in a different way. Anything stand out that you would think might be causing these things to happen?
And that's what's frustrating. No. I'm
okay.
not seeing anything that stands out.
Okay.
So even though this is an older building, I mean, it's old bones, but it's good bones.
Okay.
And where they went through between the two buildings, it looks like they just sawed right through the brick, and there was nothing there to interfere with the electrical that may or may not have been there. What I have also noticed is that the electrical work that has been done is very recent. It's up to code. Usually there's a couple of places where you can usually find some leakage, like in the fuse boxes themselves,
mm-hmm.
or in junctions where you're tying in two or three different electrical sources.
Okay.
So I went to all those places. I'm not finding any leakage whatsoever. Specifically, everything is 1.5 milligauss or less.
Now, I guess I've heard a lot, but I don't know a lot about EMF. So I am, wait, is that it? No, electromagnetic.
Yeah, electromagnetic fields.
Okay, so being in medicine, I just personally don't know of anyone that comes in and says, I'm feeling this way and I would look towards that. Is there science behind this? Do they study how people behave around an electromagnetic field, or is it, okay.
Yes, so actually, you can go back to the 1960s and with the MK Ultra experiments with the CIA.
Okay.
I hate to really go down that rabbit hole in particular, but they actually did experiments with people and exposing them to different electromagnetic fields.
Okay.
And by adjusting those fields, you could actually make people feel things that they shouldn't be feeling. So paranoia or feeling of being watched, depression. So you can alter a person's mood by the type of electronic magnetic field that they're in.
Is everyone susceptible to that? Or
everyone is susceptible to that.
Okay.
Everyone that they tested was susceptible to that.
Okay. So you come into a place, you said, what's a normal number?
Well, so I'm not looking for a quote-unquote normal number.
Okay.
I'm actually looking for any kind of leakage.
Okay.
So I'm not going to go with a normal. I'm going to go say, am I seeing evidence of any kind of exposure?
Okay.
And the gauge that I use is either a 0 milligauss, and the first response would be a 1.5 milligauss, and it goes up to 3.
Okay.
So what I've done is I've gone through every piece of electrical that I can find here, and every once in a while I'd get a pop to 1.5, which is the very first response. But other than that, this was a very quiet, very clean place from an EMF perspective.
Okay.
So that also tells me that if I get any other response throughout the evening other than 1.5, then there's something else going on other than what was the baseline.
Okay. So what is that? I would assume that if there was a ghost, it can pull the electromagnetic field and show a spike?
Correct.
Okay.
So the theory is that ghosts use energy around the environment in order to pull into themselves in order to be able to manifest the things that they do.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the energy is constant. It only changes forms.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they try to do things or manifest or make things happen, it requires energy. And, you know, we have metabolism and we have ingestion of food and nutrients, and that's where we get our energy from. They're not doing that, so they have to procure their energy from other sources.
Okay.
And so that's why you'll find some places that the batteries will go dead, or sometimes people will come in and all of a sudden they just feel really tired or depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're just drawing energy to do whatever it is that they feel like they need to do or want to do at that moment.
Okay, so that's the EMF. Any other tools that you use tonight here? I know we only gave you like 20 minutes to walk around.
You make a plan but you don't fall in love with it.
Yeah.
So what I did was I brought a digital recorder.
Okay.
And I can set it so that if there is voice phenomena,
mm-hmm.
that it will automatically start recording.
Okay.
And so I've already gone through and done some baseline. However, it was kind of muddy because there are several people here and there was just that setup and everything. So there was an ambience going on that I couldn't rule out.
Okay.
So I'm not going to use that this evening.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I brought was a laser thermometer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was taking some baseline readings again to get a foundation so that later on this evening, if we try to invoke some things, then when I see some temperature variance, at least I have a baseline to draw from.
Okay.
And so what I notice specifically is up here, and so in building 224, as you're facing the street in the top left-hand side, that corner of the room runs about 80 to 78 degrees, and it turns out that next door is actually a pizza parlor.
Okay.
So maybe some of the heat from there is actually migrating through over to here. But the rest of the corners in the rest of this side of the building and the other building as well, they're all running about 71 to 74 degrees. So again, later on, if we try to invoke something, if I see any kind of temperature variation, at least I have a baseline to go off of.
Okay.
The other thing that I brought with me was something very simple. It's a cork and a needle.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know,
old school compass, right?
That's right, old school compass.
Okay.
And if you can get spirits to play along with you, then you get to find true north and let it settle, and then you tell the spirits that if you drift right, that's a yes. If you drift left, that's a no. And there's no batteries involved, so you don't have to worry about certain issues I think you were having during setup. You had some electronic issues.
Yeah, things weren't working, but...
they're going to harvest the battery energy or human energy or wherever they can draw energy from to do things that we ask of them.
Okay.
Because they're generally just humans without the meat suit.
Yeah.
So they're going to be curious, or they're going to be shy, or they're want to have nothing to do with this. They're just people, so they're going to have that same type of personality.
Okay.
So if we're lucky enough to find that curious individual, or maybe there's a small child here, and we can, you know, have something we can roll around as a toy and kind of inspire them to come out and play, then we'll be able to do those things. We have enough energy here that we can pull them out. And now that I have all these baselines, if someone does feel a cold spot, I can, you know, use the laser thermometer and see, is that just your feeling, or can we physically prove that that's a colder spot than where it was originally?
How do you enter? Because I know your background. I mean, it's not a secret. You have the website and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you prevent yourself from having a confirmation bias? You know, being a true believer of these things, how do you go into it and say, oh, you know what, I'm seeing this, or I'm not seeing that?
So I try to, again, so think of it from a healthcare provider's point of view. You can look at somebody and you already begin your diagnostic process just by looking at someone. You haven't touched them, you haven't talked to them, you haven't looked at their chart, but you already begin with a bias. But you, again, you use your education, your background, your experience, and you shift that bias into something that is provable, tangible, and something that you can take action on.
Okay.
So I'm taking that same tack, because I'm a nurse as well, and I know you're a PT, so we have that ability.
PA. Yeah.
So we have that ability to look into a situation, and although we may have a knee-jerk reflex in one direction, we may determine that's a zebra, and we don't want to go down that hole.
Right.
And we'll follow the process as it takes us along.
Okay.
So that's why I've got all my baselines set up.
Do you do at all, like in medicine, you know, not one, there's no one perfect test. So if I'm thinking down a certain avenue and I take one test and that comes back positive, and then I take another test and that comes back positive, then I think maybe one or two more tests and the odds of them all showing me false positives are very low, so it increases, plus my diagnostics, you know, I know that, okay, this is most likely what you have because I have these tests, I also have my ability to look at a patient and kind of figure out what's going on. Is it kind of along the same lines where you say, well, you know, we have a little bit of a draft over here, that explains that, but this, there's no explanation for it. Is it kind of along those lines?
I believe that's the way most people would operate in the sense of, it's like, let's begin with the obvious and rule out those things. And then kind of like by process of deduction, it's like whatever remains, however improbable, has to be the truth.
Okay.
At the same time, I think I've also got several people here that can also provide me with to kind of rule out my own bias. If it was just me trying to make the decision, that's one thing.
Okay.
But we have several people here that are along the whole continuum of whether they believe or not believe in ghosts.
Right.
And so if we can get four or five people to have an experience, I think that really helps us with our process.
Oh, sure. If there's an experience tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be looking all over for places for this to be like, oh, that was definitely a... I don't know.
I'll go out on a limb here, and I'll say that I think we're going to have an experience this evening. I don't know in what capacity.
Okay.
But again, having gone through all my left brain criteria, I've kind of let my right brain kind of out and play a little bit, and I can already tell you there's some things running around here.
Okay.
We're not by ourselves.
Excellent. And folks can find you, just in case we forget to plug later, it's Alchemist Air?
So actually, since we had that talk, I set up another website.
Okay.
It's johnmathis.me.
Oh, well, there you go.
Pretty simple.
If you want to check out John, look at johnmathis.me. He's got I'm sure your book and all that's linked there.
Both my books, the skin cream that I make for people that are in rehab for cancer, or if they're outpatient radiation therapy. Good skin food.
Okay. All right. So we'll get back to you. I think now we should talk to... All right. Thank you. So the next guest that we have on, you might recognize him from Greece. He's going to get mad at me for saying that. It's Vincent Jenna. You can... I don't know his website right off the top of my head, but he's like a legit psychic. He's a social worker, so he's got that science background. And we're going to just pick his brain and see what sort of things he sees going on here. So let's go talk with him. Someone call me?
I love the way you titled me as legit.
I didn't know you were listening. Did you hear me say?
No, I'd rather be the legit.
Here, do you want to hold? Okay. This one you don't have to yell too much into. This is just for the podcast, and then this is the mic for the actual live stream. We'll see how that goes. But all right, so I just talked to John down there, and he was telling me he did some EMF readings, and I picked his brain saying, you know, what is EMF? Is it even really a thing? I don't know. It basically, to me, if I'm coming into a place like this with lots of scientific equipment and I want there to be, I guess, a paranormal sighting, then I'm going to use a little bit of confirmation bias and say, see, therefore, you know, this is moving. Mm-hmm. Then now you take it from a more internal, I would assume. I don't know. Actually, I'm going to let you tell me.
No, it's really good. Okay. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, we can absolutely invent anything we want that helps to validate us. As humans, we always need validation, right? And if it seems scientific, okay, any piece of equipment, is it really scientific if it does what you want it to do? It doesn't necessarily mean that. So boxes with lights, I don't use that. I absolutely respect the use of it and stuff like that, and glory. It's more our feelings that's much more important than that, because you can actually sense and feel, like your skin and the hairs, and people can actually feel that. That's so far better than looking at the box and saying, oh, the red lights are going on, there's definitely something here. Okay, so now what do you do with it?
Well, I think it's, so you have the what do we call it? The objective and the subjective.
Yeah, I know we like to call it objective and subjective, but isn't it subjective to interpret what the machine is doing anyway?
Yes, but I think it's the data points, right?
I know, looking at it from that way. You see, here's the funny thing is I've done a lot of research in my work, okay? And the funny thing about research is you can always make it work in your favor no matter what.
Sure, yeah. We were just talking about that.
So data, then, is always and will always be subjective. There is no objective data, because data can never be proven. It's only a probability or a close significance. Therefore, and see, and that's why I'm coming from the psychological point of view, it seems like it would be more objective, but it's actually still subjective, leaning towards the objective. But the greatest thing that you have, which is greater than any science, is you, yourself. Because if you ask anybody, and I was talking with some of the people, like, what do you feel? What does this place make you feel? That's so much more important, because that feeling can be so real. And yes, there was a few of us that were talking and our feelings were exactly right. This place in itself, it has such a time essence to it because of how old the building is and what they're doing with it. And look at the pieces of furniture, and they're really honoring that time. But what does it feel like? What was here before this? They're making it very family oriented, sit down, talk, fun, loving. But before that, it was far more negative.
Right.
Okay. And a matter of fact, we just saw something on the wall that said it was a funeral home.
Right. Do you want to get that on camera right there? It's right over mic right now. He's just going to look at the funeral power thing there. And then that's a directional mic, so he's going to come back here before we... So let's get into that then. When you come into a building, the building then almost has its own... As a social worker, you have your social worker, right? MSW?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm a psychotherapist.
Okay.
Yeah.
So individuals, as we progress through life, we pick up scars, we pick up bumps, and they become who we are.
That's right.
Now you take a building like this that has had happiness, has had sadness. I don't know what else has been here, but there's been a lot of different emotions.
Absolutely.
We're all made up of I always bring this up on my podcast, that when we break it down, we're made up of basically nothing. We're just subatomic particles, which pop in and out of existence. They're really the weird, and that's what they call them, scientists call them weird behaving unknown particles, right? So the basis of everything, me, you, this floor, that candle, is all pretty much the same. So if we can, and this is sounding not skeptic, right? But if we can have, not mental, if we can develop a mental personality, then so too could a place like this, I guess, have a personality. That makes sense. Well, I was hoping
it totally makes sense. The only thing that, and I'm not going to correct it, I'm going to expand upon it.
Okay.
You're giving equalness to humans and the physical material world, and that's actually not true.
Okay.
Because those subatomic particles, that space in between everything, is what makes us who we are.
Okay.
Because, and that's what some spiritualists would call God. Mm-hmm. It's the space between the matter, which there's more of.
Okay.
And everything else is an illusion. We're the energy, we're the domineering energy of this entire physicality. Matter of fact, our energy helped to create this energy, which is why we can influence it. And not being religious, but there's been some past wisdom, words of wisdom that were said. We were told we have dominion over the entire physical world. Mm-hmm. What did that mean? It means exactly what you're talking about. We're the ones that are affecting this physicality. It doesn't have its own personality. We feed it the personality.
Okay.
And it absorbs us. And so the funeral home, for example, here, everybody's coming in, they're wailing, they're crying, they're upset. If you're my family, you're jumping in the casket because you're mad at Uncle Joe for dying.
Uh-huh.
And the Italians do that.
Right.
And so that is creating such negativity that something as physical and meaningless as a wall, as a floor, as wood, as a tree is going to absorb that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our strength. So we're leaving behind essence. So this place was filled with essence beforehand. Now, essence sends out red flags, and that red flag can be seen in different dimensions. And one of the reasons why we feel that there are apparitions in this place, and they're not spiritual apparitions, there are what we call the ghostly apparitions, the ones who didn't cross over, so they're kind of stuck in the earthly dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
They see negative energy because their negative begats negative. They're feeling negative because they're lost, they're frustrated, they're angry, nobody sees them, they've lost their family, they're nowhere. And so they're going to be attracted to any place that has negativity. North Carolina is very famous for its wars and battles, especially the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many lost soldiers, young and old, and even children and families that got caught up in the battle that are stuck here in this area because they never crossed over. So here you've got a place like this, which was a funeral home to start with. Now all of a sudden it's turning into something more positive. Originally, the spirits were attracted here because of the land, because of the energy here. But I can tell you that only one guy may stay and the rest may leave because the positive energy will push them away. It's a soldier, and I believe he's the one that may be causing some of their problems, especially by the bar, with drinks, with glasses, movement. I'm just seeing
broken
that
stuff, too, so it seems to be there.
Absolutely. Okay. And it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who's so angry he's purposely doing that. Poltergeist is so rare and it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't happen as easily as that. Just as hard as it is to communicate with them,
mm-hmm.
it's really difficult to do that physicality stuff. They actually need humans' energy in order to use some of that stuff and do that.
Okay.
Like when a spirit is talking with me, it's using my energy to communicate. It's using my words, my voice, my sense of smell, my knowingness in order to communicate something to me. They don't have a body, but they do carry their essence with them. That's why I can see it's a soldier.
Okay.
Right? That is roaming through here. The little girl, I'm not sure where she's from, but it's definitely soldiers from the area.
Do you think it has anything to do with, and maybe this has something to do with that, Mike being a previous soldier or a Marine, but you know,
Well, you know what? That would be one of the reasons why he's attracted and he'd be the one that stays.
Right.
Number one, he's a guy, he likes a bar and he likes a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very frustrated he can't have any. He's got all the spirits over here and mm-hmm. his spirit can't have any spirits.
Are you
the
feeling
very,
this? Is this
oh,
something?
Oh, absolutely.
That, okay.
Definitely a guy here, yeah, without a doubt. There's three, like I said, they all three roam through, but that guy is just hanging out.
Okay.
And yes, he is relating to Mike.
Okay.
Okay, because when you are in that next dimension, you even see more than we see. So you can see the past, present, and the future. So he was able to see Mike's past.
Okay.
So and you know what? The couple here, they're such nice people.
Okay.
And you know, and they like the niceness because maybe he doesn't want to be so angry. Maybe he doesn't want to, and that's what I'm feeling from him.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is not an angry soul, he's a stuck soul. And he likes downtown Clayton. You know, this
sure.
is the area where there may have been some troops. There may have been some of his colleagues that were here and his peers that were here, which is what's keeping him here. And that's what draws spirits to certain areas.
Okay.
Besides being buried, you know, in an area. A lot of North Carolina does not have any burial laws. And that's the other reason why a lot of places are haunted, because you have homes with and churches with people buried right in the backyard. My
mm-hmm.
entire development is not only an Indian burial ground, but it was a slave cemetery, and we have unbelievable things happening at the entranceway to our development.
Okay.
So it's really is fascinating, but again, an instrument is great, collect the data, understand it, but your feelings are even more important, because when they talk about it and they talk with the other employees, they're getting incredible feelings. They're validating each other. Yeah, I kind of felt that. The other day, I felt like something walked right past me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the same thing. Why chalk that off? I mean, you know, we could all be crazy, but if we're not, then we've got some interesting answers and some things to deal with. You know what I
mean?
Right. And as a skeptic, I'm telling you, you're not a skeptic. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing these films all the time. So there's something inside of you that loves
sure, yeah.
this.
Yeah, that's why it's the What If, Wait, What If podcast, because what if, you know, that's what we're looking
for. Of course,
for.
I know you're looking for that.
And I try to get people's, you know, perspectives. Obviously, all different types of perspectives. Scientists, philosophers, authors. We have a former Secret Service guy here. So, you know, we try to get the whole
gamut.
I know
that, and that's excellent. That's so fabulous that you do that.
So, let's take it then. When we met out here on the curb, and then we came in, all right, as you walk into a building,
mm-hmm.
and let's just say this is, you know, any old building. Let's say it's Christmas Eve,
right.
2010, and you're walking into a family member's house or even a friend's house, never been there before. Do you feel, what happens? Do you get bombarded with things? Or
if
do
it's
you
my family, they bombard me completely. They're all over me.
Okay.
No, I have complete control over my abilities. I don't intentionally turn them on so that I'm walking in going, wait, what is that? Holy crap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here was completely different because I know that we were setting this up, so I allowed myself to feel it. Now, I can turn it on any time, and if I'm sitting there and something is really negative that's going on,
mm-hmm.
it will let me know. I will feel it. I will feel that energy. I will feel it, whether it's coming from a person. I actually feel spirits, loved ones that have crossed over. If they have an important message, I will actually get boom, 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 tap, tap, tap on the shoulder.
Okay.
And of course, when I'm first doing that, I'm like,
looking around for someone to do that. Okay.
Right. Okay. Wait a minute. Who's this now? All right. What do you want? You know, I don't just walk around like it's not like what you see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Mediums shouldn't be sitting in a restaurant or at Whole Foods squeezing melons and seeing the cashier's dead uncle. Okay.
Right.
It's not the way it happens. We have to turn it on to let it happen.
Okay.
But walking into this building, I allowed my body to be a sensor, to be that meter, right? And I'm walking in, and I'll get an energy. And actually, it was twofold. The initial energy I felt was family.
Okay.
Okay, this is fun. This is good. And that was before I came into this room and saw the piano and saw the antique furniture here and the family pictures, old family pictures. So you can tell that they're going into a mood and they're trying to really establish an ambiance over here. So
okay.
I felt that happy part. But then I also felt something pulling me down into the lower ground there, like that sadness. So The difference is I can walk into a place and know that there are deceased buried underneath the ground, mm-hmm. or it's just the energy. And because this was a funeral home, it's the energy that I'm feeling. All the sadness, all the crying, like I said, is in the ground. Now, some people may feel that while they're sitting here. They may get into conversation. They may get into negative conversation. They may feel a little sad. They're coming over here, they're having a drink, they're feeling depressed. It's because they're feeling that energy. But for the most part, as long as Mike keeps up that positiveness in here, they can actually turn over the energy. Because positive is so much stronger than negative, which is the reason why it takes one proton to attract several electrons around it. One's a positive energy, one's a negative energy. And that's what positiveness will do. So I believe they're going to turn this over, but I definitely felt drained. I felt that pulling down. Yeah. Okay. Didn't you feel it?
No, not at all.
Because you were busy putting the whole thing together.
Yeah. Well,
if you just opened up, really, mm-hmm. and it doesn't take long. I actually teach people how to be psychics and mediums.
So anyone can do this?
Anyone, because we're all tapped in. We're all psychic and intuitive. Right. Matter of fact, you could not live as a physical being unless you were intuitive.
Okay.
Because it's your intuition that actually keeps you alive, not your reasoning. The two greatest gifts we have is intuition and intellect. The only purpose for intellect is to label your intuition.
Okay.
And intuition can get us going. Now, intellect is fun. Intellect is fun because we can learn more from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And decide how, but we don't need it to live. You need intuition to live. Every animal needs intuition to live. And you use your intuition because that's where we're all tapped in. Like you were talking about the cosmos and all of that and all these particles. And
sure,
particles.
Yeah.
All of that is connected together, and all you are using is your mind to tap into that source, to open it up, and you can come up with an answer, you can come up with a feeling.
Do you know what it helps me with? Think about the person that gets their car dinged with a grocery cart. That has never bothered me, because I always know that deep down, we're not our cars, we're not our pants, we're not our, you know, whatever we own, we're not our phones. We drop our phone, the glass breaks, so what? I mean, life's right. Too short to even care about that. And I think that's where, I don't know where I learned that, maybe it was my experiences overseas. I was in the Air Force and served over in Iraq, where I said, you just can't sweat the small stuff. And that was the turning point, because when I was in the military, I was very, very type A. I was by the book. I don't know if anyone watching right now or in the future, because this will be on demand, and I'm sure there are some of my previous squadron mates knew me as that. I was just always uptight and always, and then I became a civilian and a PA, and I grew a beard, and now I don't care about, I care about a lot,
right.
But I don't care about, I don't sweat the petty stuff.
Actually, it's about intuition. You can't learn intuition.
Right.
You feel intuition. And John Locke, Thomas Jefferson, Carl Jung, Sigmund Freud called that the collective unconscious, the mind of God, where all people are connected together and there's a knowing. The whole reason why the Declaration of Independence could be written, that concept of unalienable or inalienable rights,
mm-hmm.
was the knowing that something inside of us knows. It knows the difference between right and wrong, and if it knows the difference between right and wrong, it knows everything else too. And it's someplace, somewhere that we're attached to. And it's just our job to open that up and wake it up. And you are doing that.
I'm trying all different methods. I'm trying breathing techniques. Have you heard of shamanic breathing?
Oh,
where you try to
totally understand that. Yeah. Breathing is very mm-hmm. good. Actually there are all different types of real intense breathing techniques, even beyond the shamanic ones. That's
okay.
One way of doing it. Meditation is another way. Following in a new thought movement, a new age movement, and I'm not talking about the woo stuff. I'm talking about the real deep down practices that they did ancient years ago. That was the whole purpose of it, is to tap into that greater essence and part of us that has all the answers, that knows everything. That's our job. We're only here to experience who we are and what we already know.
Okay.
And the only reason why we have to do that is because you don't own it until you experience it. It's like When we learned algebra, yeah, it was great. 20% off. Okay, I understand the concept. But it wasn't until I went out and I bought my first pair of jeans at 17 years old and I got a 20% discount. I went, oh my God.
Yeah, there it is. Right.
There's a discount. So we come to the earth to experience what we already know.
Mm-hmm.
And that knowing is everything that we were created from the beginning. So you have an intuition and you're using it all the time, but you see, the difference is skeptics and cynics, they don't like what they've been taught about what's been said about intuition, about
that's psychic. Exactly right, yeah.
Okay, but that doesn't mean they don't believe, they mm-hmm. just don't like the teaching, and you know what?
We like our own
why.
Answers. Okay.
I hated becoming a psychic, mm-hmm. and I hated becoming a medium because of the stigma that was attached to it.
Sure, yeah.
For the longest time, I went around as being the intuitive counselor,
mm-hmm.
and I even went back to school and got my MSW so that I can have more credibility than just being a psychic. What was I going to stick a palm outside my door and call me Brother Vinny next to Sister Sarah on the road?
Sure.
No, I didn't want that because people made too much out of it. Now, just like you, I'm not sweating the small stuff. A word is a word. I'm going to describe what it is anyway. And it's so down to earth, it's so natural, and it's part of our everyday living, and we can rely on it. That's the greatest thing.
All right. Fantastic. Well, I think what we're going to do next is, folks can find you at, is it?
VincentGenna.com.
Okay.
And that's GENNA.com. They can find me on Facebook. I'm all over town and all over the country. That's one of the greatest ways of finding out where I am is going to my website.
Okay.
I have events coming up all the time, so you can be in touch and learn how to be a psychic and a medium.
All right, fantastic. So what we're going to do now is we're going to switch it up. The live feed is going to be done, but we're still going to probably wrap it up with a little bit of the audio portion because I'm a podcast, what we do. And then I'm going to take the John that you met earlier, the tall John with the glasses. He's been doing some things. I'm going to take some video of that stuff and I'll post it on Facebook. I'll tweet it out. I'll put it all over the place. So if we do find anything interesting or crazy, or if my mind is completely changed tonight, I'm going to let you guys know. Follow me at WWI Podcast on Twitter, or check out Facebook.com/WWI Podcast. I think that's really it for now. So thanks for tuning in to the live feed. Check back on waitwhatif.com is another place you can find us, waitwhatif.com. I'm going to have this full episode audio-wise, and I'm going to edit together some of this video and everything for you to watch at a later date. And hopefully this sound is going to be better. I don't know if this sound worked out. I hope it did. I hope it sounded great. I'll check it out later on tonight. But thanks for supporting, and I'll talk to you soon.
And by the way, that Civil War soldier wants to share a bourbon with you.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So
I like it.
All right. There you go.
Like us on Facebook.com/WWI Podcast and at WWI Podcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitswhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.